How do you pronounce your last name?
Vanderweer.
Weir. Okay. I always Weir. Said wire.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's okay. A lot of people do. The I before the E is like confusing. It's Dutch. So,
gotcha. You know. Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things pertaining to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley, and our Competition Archery Media Podcast is brought to you by our platinum sponsors, PSE, Trueball Excel, Matthews, Hoyt, Black Eagle, and Elite. Today, we have a special guest with us. We have PSE shooter Savannah Vanderweer. Savannah, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So, you just came off a big Gator Cup win, but before we get to that, I wanted to ask you, so you are out right now at the USA Archery National Training Center. Tell us where you are and what you're doing.
Yeah, so I'm in Chula Vista, and I am kind of a guinea pig out here. I was approached with an idea in August of converting over to Recurve.
What?
You know, as, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So as a compounder who like has, you know, experience with like international stuff and just, you know, archery in general, they just kind of wanted to see what would happen if, you know, go over to the Recurve side of things. And so I'm trying it, you know.
Gotcha.
Whenever I first heard the idea, I was like, this is so wild and so crazy. And I've never even thought about going to Recurve. But when it was like introduced, I was like, yeah, I want to do that. Like,
yeah,
okay, crazy new direction.
Right. Have you ever shot an Olympic Recurve setup before?
The last time I shot Recurve was when I was 11.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And you're how old now?
20.
20. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So it's been really fun. And I'm also, so I shoot left-handed for, compound, right? Cause I'm left eye dominant. And, but here they have me shooting right-handed.
Really?
Right-handed. And so that's also been like a fun thing with the switch is like, it's completely different. So yeah, it's been really fun. It's been so amazing. I love it out here. The coaches are so great. There's a great group of people to be training with. It's, oh my goodness, it's so cool.
What's the end game? Like, why did they come to you and ask you, you know, give you this opportunity?
I don't know the exact reasons. I think they're just wanting to try to find other ways to bring in people who just, I don't know, who are really wanting to like push for it. Maybe, I don't know. It's like, it's a growth thing.
Right.
Like kind of new people to bring in. So yeah. So I'm a guinea pig.
Have you talked like to Crystal Galvin about this? She's world number two compound, and then she tried Recurve for
yeah.
a while.
Yeah, I did. I talked to her a little bit. I hadn't been like telling anybody about it whenever I was at the last event that she was at. And so I was like being really vague and like trying to ask questions.
Yeah.
But for her, yeah, you know, talking to her about like different expectations and the problems she had with switch, you know, coming over from a compound kind of mindset over. And it was kind of funny things, you know. I think one thing she had talked about is like spotting arrows because you're shooting four people to a target. And I was like, oh my goodness, I've never thought about that. Like, yeah. So like silly things like that. But yeah.
Well, this, I had no idea we were going to be talking about this. This is awesome. But before we dive into that more, I wanted to talk, obviously, you have been building up a career as a pretty successful compound archer, having just won your first senior national event at Gator
yeah.
Cup.
Yeah, it was so cool.
Tell me about that. So, I mean, and, you know, it was a depleted field, but we
yeah.
still had Paige Pierce, Tanya Jensen there. I mean, there's two of the top compound shooters in the world, let alone in the U.S. Well, Tanya's
yeah,
from Denmark,
yeah,
but she
sure.
shoots here a lot.
Oh, I know. They're just shooting amazing. And I know Tanya's been shooting really well. She's had a great season. It's so cool for her. And, you know, I'm friends with them, really look up to them. And so, yeah, it's always cool getting to compete with them. But yeah, Gator Cup was it was fun. That wind was like super tricky for the qualification and elimination days. And so we were all just like, oh my goodness, we just want to get this part over with, you know, so we can get to the fun part, the eliminations. But
You're from Texas. You're probably shooting in the wind is probably what you do every day.
Yeah. So, yes, where I was before, it was super windy all the time, but my family actually moved in April, and it's not as windy there, which has been kind of a bummer because I wasn't able to get like wind practice like normal. Cause I don't mind wind at all, but it was tricky because one end of the field would have a flag pointing one way. The middle would be like dead still. The end would be pointing like a different direction. And you're just like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Wow.
So anyway, it was tricky. And
yeah. So you came in to the eliminations. It was the three of you were the top three qualifiers. So it's not like you fought your way up from the bottom. You were right there at the top anyway.
Yep. And then we kept that top three kind of the same. Yeah.
What do you think, like, was there something different working for you this weekend? Or, I mean, I'm sure in practice you've shot some incredible scores, you know.
Yeah. So actually I had been out here at the center for 3 weeks maybe already, whenever I went out to Gator Cup. And Chris, one of the coaches here, he was able to help me with some stuff, and it was just like really simple things, like weight, just putting more weight out front. He's like, I think if you gave your bow some direction, that would like help, because I just had it like sitting really level. Like whenever I would shoot, it was just dead, like still. So I think if you give it some direction, give it somewhere to go, and so that helped me like really. It was a lot steadier. And then with wind, we had been talking about it, and it's like, yeah, well, I bubble, you know, for whatever. And he's like, oh, okay. And then the next day or something, he was like, hold on, you said you bubble? I was like, yeah. He's like, I don't know anybody who bubbles, and like that's all they do. He's like, oh, I think you should try aiming off and then bubbling and like see what happens with your groups. And here, there's some wind, and so I did that. And I was like,
explain
oh my
bubbling
goodness.
Before we go on. Explain what you mean by bubbling.
Bubbling is, just using the bubble level that's in my scope housing and just canting the bow into the wind. And so, you know, if it's just a little bit of breeze, you just, you know, you bubble it just a tiny bit over. And I don't know, I was just like, it was by feel, like there was no scientific, like, oh, I go, you know, a quarter of the bubble.
Yeah.
It would just kind of be like, oh, lean into it, you know. And it's like, yeah, I think you should try aiming off. So I did, and the groups were so much better, and I was like, oh my goodness,
wow,
I have been making this harder on myself. And so that was a big help. There's some light bulb moments there. So then I went from really feeling like I wasn't going to go to Gator Cup. Actually, I did this like outdoor season. What I mean, you know, it was crazy, right, with all the COVID stuff. And then I was able to go to some events, and they were just kind of disappointing. Like, I just didn't shoot my best, and it was a bit frustrating. And so after Yankton especially, I did not do great there. Had a lot of fun, but shooting wise was not great. And I was like, I'm done. I'm ready to just like come out here, try this whole recurve thing, get ready for indoor. And then I had Coach D Falks. He was like, I think you should go. I don't know why. I have a good feeling about it. And I was like,
good for D.
I really don't want to go. And then people here at the center, they're like, we're all going to be gone. Like, you will have no one else here. And I'm like, ugh. It's okay, fine. I'll go, you know? And it was kind of like, And then, you know, practicing up to it just a few days before, I was like, oh, the stuff from Chris has been really helpful. I'm shooting really well. And then we got out there, shot well. Wow, I am so glad.
I hope you thanked him when you got back.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, as you mentioned, with your weights, that interests me as well, because you know, so many times, archers, I'm guilty of that too, that I like to get it as level as possible. But I've you know, talked to enough archers to say, hey, when it's perfectly level, boy, that thing can really move around a lot. Versus having it, you know, more out front, more out back, left, right, whatever. So, yeah. And so you tried out front. What did you feel different in your shot?
I don't know. You just kind of get this feeling of like, it just wants to go to the middle of the target. Like whenever it releases, it wants to go forward and it's going to the 10. And like, I don't know. That's the kind of feeling I would get from it. And so it was something, it was really cool, 'cause I had never thought about it. And then when he was suggesting that, and I tend to hold low. And so I always avoid it. I was like, if anything, I want the lightest front weight possible, you know, and then stacking on the back, because I have such a hard time with holding low. And I was like, oh, I'm really skeptical about this working. But then it worked. And I was like,
how about that?
Okay, this is really great. So yeah, and I don't know how different it is for other people. Maybe back weight, you know, is better. But for me, and the weight, whatever Chris was seeing with how the bow was reacting with my shot, putting weight out front, it helped.
How yeah. about that? That's yeah. great. So you get into the gold medal match. what's your thoughts when you would have beat Paige to get into the gold medal, or you beat?
Yes. Yeah. I beat Paige. So we actually, we tied, and the score was not great. Like, oh my goodness. It was pretty funny. We're like, okay, seriously, like we dragged this match out and then now we have to shoot off. Like, okay, here we go. And she shot a 10 and I shot an X. And so that was, you know, that was a pretty good shoot off.
Wow. Great.
Yeah.
So then what are you thinking? You're like, man, I'm in the gold medal match.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this is really great. Like, you know, I get to keep shooting. And then that gold medal match that morning, we were on the practice field and Tanya was shooting really well. I was like, oh goodness, this is going to be a close match, you know? And then we started shooting and it was just breezy and it was weird wind again. And it, you know, it picked up a little bit. I had an arrow though, that was not, there is no excuse for that shot. I like shot a 5 and that, it was just a dumb shot. I mean, there was a bit of wind, you know, and I like felt like, oh, I'm running out of time. I've been in situations like that before, you know, especially like with team rounds and stuff, you don't have that much time. So that was just a crazy shot. And I was like, oh no, this math is done. So I was like, well, I might as well just finish it out as strong as I can. And so the next end came back, shot a 30. It's like, all right, that's more like it. You know, that's how I should be shooting. And then kept shooting and they're like, you've got a lead. I'm like, what? And so then that last end, and I thought Paige did a really good job on the commentary. I was listening to that match again. And she was like, yeah, so what a lot of people do like now is just, if you just keep it in the gold, like, you know, you win it. Like you don't need to fight. And then like overthink it, overcomplicate it, just execute a clean shot, stick it in the middle. And so that's what I did and ended up winning. So yeah.
That's great. Now this, I mean, I've seen you at enough of these USAT events, winning one of these major senior division, one of these major competitions in the senior division, that yeah. had to have been a goal of yours for a while now.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. 'Cause I've made the podium, but never got a win. And, you know, that's, I mean, losing matches, that's never fun. you know, you always want to win. And so, yeah, that was a big, big milestone there. And I hadn't even realized that I was like, oh, that was my first senior, like, whoa, that is really cool. You know,
took a while to hit you.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's
I'm really happy. Yeah.
So, and you also shoot indoor. I believe you've told me before that field is actually your favorite discipline.
Field is my favorite. Yes, sir.
And 3D, I've seen you at the ASAs.
Yeah, that one's a fun one. That is one, man, I still have not figured that game out.
3D.
I love it, but it is so challenging for someone who, like, you know, we shoot colored dots. And it's the same distances, right? Even for field, it's dots that you can very clearly see. And so shooting it animals when you're like, I kind of know where I should be aiming, but I don't really know. It's a challenge. It's fun.
Yeah. Is that the most challenging thing, the not having a definitive aiming point?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Gotcha. Because you shoot in the known 45?
Yes.
Well, women's known 45, yeah. Which is, I mean, that's a challenging division. There's a lot of the women pros. I mean, that's Paige shoots in that. When Tanya goes, yeah, she shoots in that. That's, I mean, there's some good competition there.
Yeah, I know. And there's a lot of those ladies that, like, 3D is all they do. And so they've got, like, you know, all the targets, and this is what they do all the time. So they are good at it. And, you know, they practice it. So, like, they've worked hard for it. Like, they are, like, wow. Okay.
So one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was this, obviously your first win there. So things for Savannah Vanderweer are going in a good direction. You know, yeah, you won the Women's Open division in the Classic a couple years ago, and that's, yeah, indoor. You know, things are going the right way. So you're 20 years old. You're shooting archery at a high level. Yeah. It would seem to me from the outside that you at your age have a decision to make of, like, what do you do?
Yeah, for sure. And that's something, yeah, the last couple of years, it's been challenging because this is something I love and have had success with. And so, you know, I don't want to stop shooting. But, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to go to college, and then, you know, you don't shoot. And, I don't know. And then just life, you know, you just, I don't know, don't keep at it. And I'm like, I don't want to give this up. And, then this year, especially like, when everything got shut down and all the tournaments, you know, weren't happening. And it's like, man, like, what am I going to do? Like, you know, I've worked so hard for all this archery stuff, and it can all just be taken away just like that. You know, I'm like, I don't know what to do. And so, you know, I had been praying about it, and I'm like, man, I need something to be like, yeah, this is where I should be. And this is what I should keep doing, because, you know, I've been doing online school, so that I can keep doing archery, and I do photography so that I can also have, you know, a little bit of extra support there. And then in August, I was, you know, this idea of being at here, and I was like, oh yeah, archery, I'm meant to keep doing this, you know?
Nice.
And, yeah, so I know it's really difficult. It's really difficult, especially for ladies, it seems, you know, you get into college and
exactly,
you've got a lot of responsibilities, and, it can be really hard to keep at it. So for those who do, man,
yeah,
so good job. Good job.
That's the thing. You know, archery, it just seems that it's easier for guys to advance in it. The women's ranks it seems to be where it's the smaller pool. And so you, yeah, hate to see someone like you who's young, who's competing with the best in the world. You're the kind, yeah, of person that, you know, the sport wants to see go in the right direction, but life is life, you know?
Yeah,
there's
for sure.
Things you have to do.
Yeah. And archery has been a big part of my life now since I was 10. And so I don't think it's something, even if I had gone to school, I would probably have come back. But man, it's just something I didn't want to give up. And so I think a big thing about it is like priorities, because, you know, some people, like, even if they have had success, that's okay. School takes a bigger priority. That is fine if that's where you want to go. For me though, that wasn't the direction. I'm like, no, if I still need to do school, I will make school work around how, you know, I want to keep practicing. I want to keep traveling. I want to keep going to tournaments. And so I'll make school work for me instead of working around a school schedule. And I had been homeschooled, you know, so it was like online school is not any different, online college. So I think a big part about it is priorities. And so.
So are you, yeah, taking college classes now?
I am. Not currently. I had taken a bit of a break so that I could focus on this transition out here. But then, yes, I am just doing a business degree. Not the most enjoyable, but yes, I am.
Gotcha. Do you have a thought of what you'd like to do eventually?
I would like to be a professional photographer. Yeah, so that's something that I also really enjoy. So, you know, shooting cameras, shooting bows, that's yeah, so that's what I'd like to do, something in media. And yeah.
And now, well, I was going to ask you about the indoor season, but if you're training for recurve, that's a whole different scenario there.
Yeah.
Is like, are you, what, tell me about recurve compound. Like, are you still shooting your compound, or are you now 100% recurve?
So I am shooting both. I'm shooting both every day because I'm still locked in for the World Cup team for next year. And that was one part of the deal. At first they were talking about, and they were like, well, if you came out here, you know, you'd have to do a full transition, you wouldn't be able to do those. And I was like, that the World Cups have been a big goal for me. Like, I really don't want to give those up. So then made it part of the deal. Like, I can still go do that.
Because you didn't get to do any last year. I mean,
no,
they were all gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I know. It's so sad. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so I'll still be shooting compound for indoor season and for the World Cups and USATs next year. And then we'll be looking at saying goodbye to compound for a little bit.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Are the Olympics an end game that you're thinking of? Is that something that's out there?
Yeah, that's the idea, I think, right now. Yeah, 2024.
Okay. And that's, yeah. I believe that one's in Los Angeles. So that would be, you wouldn't have to leave the country. I'm pretty sure that's Los Angeles.
Yeah. So, and it's really nice out here. There's still enough time that, like, even when I do get into a full swing with recurve, there's enough time to be able to shoot compound. And so, like, if I wanted to just go to a 3D tournament and be like, I'm just going to go shoot my compound and because I want to.
Yes.
Like, I could.
We would see Crystal Galvin. She would come out and do, you know, she did some ASAs and things like that. Recurve and compound, what, obviously switching left to right hand, that's a big change, but what's the biggest differences that you've noticed, or maybe something that you weren't expecting?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. Honestly, I think that I was, like, beforehand, I had how many months? I had two months that I was, like, thinking about coming out, you know. Well, I mean, I had made this decision to come out here. And so then it was just, like, waiting till I was already out here. So I think I actually, like, I don't know, term. I hyped it up so much. I was like, oh, my goodness, it's going to be so difficult. It's going to be so hard. And it's going to be so different. But then I got out here, and it actually wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. But it is a lot more physically demanding. And the most frustrating part, especially the first month, was that, like, they'd be talking about, okay, so you need to move your body like this. I'm like, okay, I know, like, that I should be able to do that. I know that I will be able to do that eventually. But right now, like, I couldn't communicate with certain muscles because they were like, we're used to moving the other direction. What is happening? So
did you get in a position where you were like, I feel like I'm doing exactly what you're telling me? And they're like, you're not.
Yeah. So it's been challenging. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that, like,
well, I would think aiming, because there's the alignment is so, you know, you don't have a peep sight. You're totally going off of the string.
I actually haven't been aiming anything yet. I just got a sight like three days ago or something. Because the first bit, I haven't done anything, like, any aiming at targets. I haven't done anything at distance. I've just been blank bailing the last bit.
I feel sorry for you.
Movements and motions. And actually, I really don't mind. It's
really
funny. I think maybe, like, something's just wrong, or, you know, I enjoy blank bailing even with my compound. And so, like, all my compound buddies, they know that, like, I've said before, if I could win competitions by just blank bailing, then, like, I would. Like, I just enjoy the shot and not necessarily the aiming. That's one of the things about indoor that, like, kind of annoys me, is that, like, I don't know, there's a little, anyway. So with recurve, I have not been aiming at anything yet. So there hasn't been any back frustration. Like, I don't even have a clicker on there yet.
Okay.
So I'm just getting motions and movements down. And so there are things today that like finally clicked, like that I was able to, brace and like get my front arm, and like shoulder in the right place. And I was like, oh, this feels really good, you know? And this is almost 2 months in. So I've got like a big picture view of this that, you know, I'm going to be spending months, you know, some months here blank bailing in a corner with somebody else while they're out doing other activities. That's fine, because in the long run, I want to get the stuff down. I want to have it down so that then I can go out and go do drills with people, and I can go, you know, do different games and scorings and whatever. So I'm trying to keep that big picture view of it, that like right now, this is what I need to do. And that's fine. And, you know, I've got music, and so it's fine.
what is your setup? What weight are you shooting?
Oh, goodness. So right now I have a bow that's got 30-pound limbs on it that are like 5 turns out.
Oh, gotcha.
So it's not a lot of weight. That's been another thing, is just like building up weight to even be able to actually shoot a real bow. The first little bit, I was just shooting some light bows. And it's funny now, because the one that is like super easy to me now, whenever I first got here, I was like struggling, you know,
yeah,
with that.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's so easy. So it's good. It's been, you know, a bit of a slow process, but that's fine with me. I don't want to rush things. I don't want to, the whole point of this is to like, I'm a clean slate, so no bad habits. So.
Gotcha. Oh, and I'm guessing one of the reasons I would imagine, I mean, on some level, archery is archery. And if you have the skill that you do, there's something in you that is probably well suited for it.
Yeah.
In whatever form.
You know, it's funny too. I've had some other coaches at different events, like random coach, like we didn't know them before, you know, and you just like meet them, like in 5 minutes in, they're like watching you shoot and watching me shoot. And, like, I think you'd be good at recurve. And I was always like, what are you talking about? Like, no, why do people, you know? And it was a few people, but just enough to be like, why do people think that I would be good at like recurve? Like, I don't know. So yeah, I think a shooter is a shooter, because like I can shoot guns well too. And usually archery people can shoot guns as well and do really well with it. So I think people who are good at shooting are just good at shooting sports.
Yeah. Hand-eye coordination is there. How did you get into archery? Well, I don't remember what your story is there.
Okay. Yeah. So my dad was really into bow hunting. And then we moved out to this tiny little town out in West Texas, and they had a 4-H club that needed help because they had a lot of kiddos who wanted to shoot and not a lot of instructors who actually could help, or, you know, knew what they were doing. And so they asked my dad to volunteer for that. And since there wasn't much else going on, my sister and I, she's 2 years younger than I am, we tagged along. And got out there, and it was really fun, you know, getting to meet people. And it was mostly just boys out there, but still, it was a lot of fun, you know. And then started shooting, and I could beat the boys. But
I'm sure you like that, really, but they probably didn't.
It was really fun, yeah. Especially whenever I actually got my own bow, and it was this tiny little pink bow, and they would get so mad. Oh, a girl beat me with a pink bow, you know. And it was pretty fun. So I just did 4-H for about 4 years. And so like the biggest thing I had done up to then was 4-H state. And I was getting to a point where I was like, oh, this is kind of getting boring. Like there's not any other tournaments to go to. I didn't know about anything. And so I had actually quit. I was 14. And I was like, I'm done. I don't want to do this. Like I want to move on, find something else. And my mom, she's like, I really think you should just go to state. I really think it'd be a good idea. And I was like, ooh, I don't know. Dad had already taken apart my bow to give some of those pieces of equipment to my sister. And I was like, I don't know. She's like, I really think you should go. And so finally I was like, okay, fine. I'll just finish out this event And I'm noticing this is becoming a trend with me. yeah. I'll go to this event. And
I'll just do this one.
yeah. And so then we got there, and I was doing pretty okay. And then this coach saw me shooting, was like, "Hey, I think you could be really good." And we were like, "Oh, okay." She's like, "I think you should get a target bow. I think you should look into JOAD, USA Archery, NFAA." And we were like, "Hold on, what are you talking about?" It was like a whole new language, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what is all this stuff?
Is that English?
And so we were like, "This is kind of crazy, but okay, we'll look into it," you know? And I had a really good finish. I think I had gotten like whatever it was, like the high senior overall. So I was like, "Oh, wow. Okay, maybe I should keep shooting." and so then I went to my first like USA archery tournament, and we were like, "Oh, we'll just see if I can hang in there," and did pretty good. It was just an indoor thing at A&M.
Okay.
And everybody was super nice, and there were all these new people, and I was like, "Oh my goodness, where has this been?" You know, like we didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, so then went to USAS and just got hooked and just stuck with it, you know.
And run down some of your accomplishments for me, some of your titles and teams that you were on.
Yeah, so I've been on the USAT team several years. I've been on the field team for 2016 in Ireland, 2018 in Italy, and then the Youth World Championships in Argentina and Spain. And let's see, I've won indoor nationals for NFAA, Lancaster Open. That was a big one for
me.
That was really cool. I love the setting for that event. And
you've had some podiums at, like, I think I remember you at Arizona Cup.
Yeah.
Is it Arizona? Or I can't remember.
Yeah, Arizona Gator last year. And I think that, yeah. Yeah, and then I've also, you know, had the podiums at those ball championships, team events. We always did really well. But then, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so seeing what you've done now and thinking back to where you were in this little town in Texas, I mean, that's got to seem like it's two totally different worlds.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. If I could go back and be like, "This is going to happen, going to go all over the world because of archery," I would have thought you were crazy, you know? Like, there's no way that I could do all that just through archery, you know?
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's been really, really cool.
And so now you're preparing for, you know, while you're shooting your recurve, as you mentioned, you're shooting your compound, preparing for indoor, and the indoor season, man, it just looks, I don't know, you know, the tournaments are out there. Vegas is still on the schedule. Lancaster Archery Classic is on the schedule. Indoor Nationals is on the schedule for now. But what's the mood in your community, the archers that you're shooting with? What's your sense if you had to make a prediction?
Yeah, we're hoping that those events can happen, but still very skeptical. it's, you know, it's really difficult. We all want to be competing, but that's what we love to do, you know.
But yeah, what's that like, that void? Because usually right now you'd be preparing with a definite tournament. Okay, I need to be ready,
like,
by this date.
I am going here. I am doing this. We are going. Like, we can definitely plan on all this. And it's just like, ooh, this year is totally, totally weird and different. Yeah, I know. I feel like the classic is pretty, pretty definite. I don't know. I just heard that Rob is really determined to make that happen.
He is.
You know, so.
I can verify.
Like, okay, we're pretty certain about that one, but all the other ones we've been like, ooh, I don't know.
And now Mike Tyrell from the ASA, he's pretty well committed to having his season go. Is that where would the ASA fit in for you next year?
As long as events aren't planned over USAT weekends or World Cup weekends, then I would love to be there. Yeah. And that's another one too. Like World Cup, like, okay, they're scheduled to happen, but will they really happen? Like, I don't know. Yeah. It's not fun. All the unknown, you know, we're all just
the uncertainty
over.
Yeah, it's like you're treading water because it's not like they're definitely canceled. They're just right. Kind of, they might happen.
Yeah. And it's very frustrating because you're like, either just let us know for sure this is going to happen, which there's, I don't know, I don't think that there are many ways that they can let us know that it's for sure going to happen, or just cancel the event.
Right.
Like, just don't keep leading us on, you know. Dragging it out, yeah.
So living out there in Chula Vista, are there others who are in your stage, like new people brought in? You said you're the guinea pig. Are you the only one?
I'm the only one.
Oh, wow.
So they've had some other athletes here, you know, on trial. And so, like, newbies to the center. And so, you know, I've been able to connect with some of those girls, you know, who are out here. And we're like, oh, we don't know what we're doing together. Yay. But nobody else is an actual, like, newbie with recurve.
Is there anyone else with a compound? I don't know how Chula Vista works for compounded. Do they shoot there?
Yeah, so I was actually pretty surprised. The recurve, you know, they were giving me a hard time because I brought out my compound to practice one day, and they're like, oh, you've got your wheelie bow. Except then several of them actually have compounds that they, you know, just play around with. I'm like, okay, guys, like, fine, give me a hard time about it. Well, you all have some in your lockers, like, okay. So they, you know, they give me a hard time about it, but not like in a mean way or trying to persuade me to stop shooting altogether. They've been very supportive of me still, you know, shooting with the compound, and they do too. So
but it's like none of the compound regulars are there. I'm thinking, like, Paige, but Paige, Tate,
no.
Morgan, Rio, those types, they don't shoot there.
No.
Gotcha. It's just recurve. How about that?
Just recurve, yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, if they were able to get compound in the Olympics, then maybe it would change, but
right.
For right now, yeah, it's just recurve.
Gotcha. So this training facility, tell me what a day is like. A day and a week. What's it like for Savannah?
Yeah, so we get up. I usually get up about like 7:30, 7, yeah. Head out, go get some breakfast, you know, head over about like 8:30. Official start time is 9. But I like to get over there with all the shooting I'm doing. My muscles are like, so I need lots of time to warm up. And then we shoot, and then we have lunch break, and then we get back at it in the afternoon. And then we're free the rest of the evening. And then we've actually started doing workouts. So now, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we've got workouts that we're doing. And we've been doing those like in the morning. And so, yeah, there's a good schedule, but it's also chill. Like, I was expecting it to be more like planned or like crazy. And then it's not like, it's good. It's a decent amount of shooting. It's really good.
Do you go by, like, do you shoot a certain number of arrows a day, or is it a certain number, or is it just you shoot a set amount of time per day?
Yeah, so I'm just shooting the same time that everybody else is. I have not been keeping track of arrows. I'm shooting kind of slow right now. Trying to shoot as many arrows as I can, but it's a bit different. So then, yeah, I just shoot the time slots that everybody else is. Yeah. So.
And now what's your family think about this? I know your parents and your sisters, they're like some of your biggest fans. What do they think about all this?
They have been such huge supporters for this. You know, they're a bit sad, you know, that I was leaving, because for right now, the plan had been, you know, I'm going to keep doing archery and keep doing school, and I'll just be home. You know, there's no reason for me to move out and be like, try to have some apartment or something that I'm paying for. I'm like, I'd rather just stay home. And so then this happened, and it was like really sudden. And then like, oh, I'm going to be gone. And if this works out, I'm going to be gone like a while, you know, a long time. But they've been so supportive. And so they're so excited for all of this. It's a really cool opportunity. And my dad, he's like, I'm actually a bit jealous because that's really cool.
Well, I mean, you're out there training, and one of the people you're training, or two of them, Mackenzie Brown shows up, who represented the U.S. in the last Olympics. And I'm sure you see a lot of Katuna Lorig, who's been in, I don't know, 5, 6 Olympics, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be, are you picking their brains? What kind of things are you talking to them about?
Yeah. Mackenzie has been really, really helpful with things out here. Just because, you know, I am so new to this. I'm like, okay, so I'm not new to archery, but I don't know anything about recurve. And so any of the questions I've had and some other stuff, Mackenzie's been really encouraging and really helpful.
Fellow Texas.
She's not here right now, but yeah, fellow Texan. So that's been really great. Cause I had never met her before. If I had, you know, it was like in groups with people, she might have been there, but, anyway, so then, yeah, once we got out here though, it was like, oh man, she's really nice.
She's awesome. Yep.
So,
definitely.
Yeah. So it's really great. And, there's some of the other guys out here too who have been really helpful. You know, you just have any questions. I'm like, I know this might be like a silly question, but like, I don't know. And they're like, it's okay. We can help. So yeah, it's an amazing place to be training. If you love archery, this is a great place to be.
That's
you know?
The place to be for sure.
Be, yeah.
One thing I did want to ask you about with, okay, so you win Gator Cup, and that's a big national event on the compound side. Are you able to, have you been able to build up a sponsor base for yourself in compound? You obviously have PSE, and I see you wear Bowfinger jersey all the time.
Yeah, Bowfinger, oh my goodness. PSE and Bowfinger have just been the best companies to work with. Everybody at Bowfinger has been so helpful and super encouraging, and I love their products, love their company, and they do such a great job, like on social media too, like encouraging everyone who shoots their stuff. I know sometimes companies, and not that there's anything wrong with it, but you know, they mostly just share what the pros are doing, which is fine. Bowfinger also does a really good job of sharing like what kids are doing, and across all the different target and 3D and hunting, you know, all the different things. And so I really appreciate that. I think that's really cool. That's really cool environment to, you know, have there for that company. So so I've got PSC and Bowfinger and Trueball. That's pretty much it. I shoot the HBC.
I have to ask you, you have a very signature shot. Your anchor and follow through. If you're walking up and down the line, you know where Savannah is just by that hand. Your pinky is almost perfectly vertical, and it just looks like the most relaxed thing when your arm just falls backwards.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. What's happening in all of that?
So whenever I first started, like the target stuff, I had a tension, a pull through release. It was like a squeeze knee Carter or something like that. And that's what I shot for like a year maybe. And then eventually my dad was like, okay, I think you're doing well enough with this. I think we can go to a hinge. I was like really scared of straight handheld ones because I had that wrist strap. And so he found, it's like, oh my goodness. It was a hinge on a wrist strap. I don't remember what it was. I know that it was like camo too. And we were like, wow, this is this is fun. but anyway, it was a hinge, and so I was still able to get that, but still with the wrist strap. And I guess it started whenever I was shooting that, because I was just so relaxed. And I don't know, my dad had just always told me, just like, don't try to stop your arm, you know, there's no reason, just let it, just I don't know, execute a good shot and just let it go, let your hand relax. So then I don't know when that started, but yeah, it is definitely very different. And like, I'm not trying to do that.
Some no, people it doesn't look like,
oh, you've like incorporated that into your shot. I'm like, no, I'm not trying to be extra. Like, I'm just really relaxed, and that's where my hand goes. And so you can tell if I've had a bad shot, because I won't, like, if
you,
I
won't do it.
Yeah.
No, I'm the opposite. If I do a follow through like that, it looks fake. And it is fake, because I am exaggerating it. But no, when you do it, I mean, I've seen it. It just looks like, goes the
and
arrow.
I don't know if it's too from like the heaviness of like that brass, and like it just kind of goes. I don't know. I've dropped it a few times. I've flung it a few times because, you know, you get really relaxed and then it just goes. But
What are you, how much weight are you pulling? Well, let's start with, which compound PSE are you shooting?
I'm shooting these Super Focus.
Okay. And what draw weight?
I've got 45 right now, I think. So not a lot.
How much let off?
Oh, my goodness. I don't remember.
Is it a lot, or are you holding more weight?
I'm holding more weight. I've got a higher holding weight. I think it's around like 14, 15. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. It's been a long time since we've actually checked that, but I really prefer a higher holding weight. And then I think with the amount of shooting I've been doing, I think I'll probably be turning up my poundage soon.
That was my next question was going to be, it sounds like from what you're doing recurve, that has to, it has to help in some way, even though it's different arms.
Yeah, for sure. So even though it is a different side, I can tell I'm getting stronger, and I've been shooting my compound quite a bit. And so I'm like, might actually be time to turn this up.
Right,
so
right.
That's nice. I'm a big fan though of shooting like where you're comfortable. I know some people just try to shoot like a lot of weight, and I'm like, when you're doing target stuff, it's like a marathon. I don't need to be any more tired than I already am.
Yeah, 50 meter round. I mean, that's a lot of arrows.
Yeah, for sure. And if you've got wind in there too that you're fighting, that's mentally and physically tiring. So
in the perfect world, Savannah Vanderweer can make a living doing archery. What are you shooting? What discipline? In terms of 3D field, indoor, 50 meter.
I would love to be able to just do field all the time. And it's not NFA field, you know, it's FITA field. I love FITA field. I had never even done NFAA field until the last super shoot in Yankton, which surprises a lot of people, because whenever I tell them I love field, they're like, oh, yeah, okay. I'm like, yeah, FITA field. I'm like, hold on. What? Because most people hate it.
Explain the difference, because it is different.
Yeah, so let's see. FITA field, they've got a different target. So it's got the yellow center, which can throw people off, and then all the rest of the rings are black. We have an unknown day.
Unknown day, that's the big one.
That's the big one, yeah. So that's a lot of fun. I am terrible judging distance, but with that one, there are a few things you can do, you know, to like judge it. And so it's not nearly as bad.
The dot size gives you a range, at least.
Yes.
Helps you know, okay, it's between this and this.
Yeah. It gets complicated whenever you've got, like, if you're trying to tell if it's a 60 centimeter target or an 80, because they do things to trick you on that. Because if you put a 60 uphill, it looks closer to you. And so you think it's an 80 because it looks really big. But then if they put an 80 like downhill, I don't know. They have tricks that they do to make the targets look different. And you're like, So I really like it because it's a thinking game. And I really enjoy that. What annoys me sometimes about some of the target stuff, like 50 meter or indoor, is that it's just, it's so like, there's no lighting changes, no wind to be thinking about. And so it's really easy to slip into like autopilot and not like, you forget to still be very actively shooting good shots. Cause you're just like, just going to keep doing what I'm doing anyway.
So knowing that, what's going through your mind when you're down there on the floor last year at Vegas, seeing Paige finish out a 900?
Oh my goodness. That was so cool. I was just one target over, or maybe two. That was so awesome getting to watch her do that. And I know she struggled too with indoor stuff in past years. And so then she's really been like working very hard the last couple to do well, and it's paid off. So it was really cool to watch that.
Both the physical and mental state that takes to be able to put together that perfect round. I mean, that's.
Yep.
I don't know how.
There is something silly about that Vegas round that, like, there is no reason that we should be missing that 10. We shoot 60X games on the NFAA spot, the blue spot, 60X. Like, that's normal. And it's the same size as the 10. And yet, for whatever reason.
Braden Galantine was here a couple weeks ago, and I was asking him about Vegas, and he was talking about that exact same thing. He was like, I don't know what it is. Something just happens, and I just miss one.
Yep.
And it only takes one.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. For the guys. Ooh, I'm so glad I'm not a guy shooting for that. Because, man, at least with the lady stuff, like, if you miss one or two, like, you're still going to be in a pretty good standing.
Yeah. I've been down there now the last 2 years on that, when the guys are going for their 900s. I'm not shooting. I have a camera. And I'm, like, sweating. I'm nervous. And I've seen guys miss on the last end. I'm thinking, that just has to be so devastating. It's just gut-wrenching. And then I never forget watching Levi Morgan 2 years ago. Like, he's on his last end, and this guy had the highest X count of all the guys, and his hand was just shaking. And I thought, holy cow, here's this guy. I would think this is like, a drive in the park for him. But
yeah. I know. It's so hard with some of those events to be able to separate some of that like pressure or something that you can feel, or it's like some of those nerves, and just push those away and just keep shooting. Because if you shoot good shots, it goes in the middle. And so, whenever you start getting like all weird with it, like, oh my goodness, I really got to shoot perfect because whatever, just shoot how you normally shoot and they'll go in the middle. But then it's so hard at those events, and it's so weird.
That's amazing. Cool.
Yeah, it's hard to keep that process.
All right, folks, that is another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. We certainly thank our guest, Savannah Vanderweer. Savannah, thanks so much for taking time to talk to us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
All right, folks, you can find the Competition Archery Media Podcast on all the available podcast platforms. We are everywhere you find your favorite podcast. Thanks for joining us.